time, party time. We are a variety show that talks about pop culture, media, and we're going to interview local artists and have a good time and redefine prime time in these weird times. I'm Tracy, and this is...
Daniel. How's it going, Tracy?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And how's it going, all listeners? I see a couple people here in the chat tonight. Thank you so much
Yay.
For being here.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, this is our...
It is good.
Oh, yeah. It is good. This is our second edition of Primetime Party Time. We started this last Monday night. We're here on ptptshow.com Monday nights at 9 p.m. You can also now find us on podcast platforms. We should be on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, as well as pretty much anywhere else. Then if you got a favorite place that you listen to podcasts and we're not there, hit us up at info@pptshow.com and let us know where we're not. But we should be fairly around by this point.
Yeah. I think we're pretty everywhere, as it seems.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, loose ends from our last episode to stay true and honest to what we were discussing. As we did talk about some twists and turns in the film we both recently watched this past holiday season called The Happiest Season. And Daniel... Your thoughts.
Okay. No. Right. So basically we came away last week and we were discussing things that we were watching and during the holiday season, and one of them was the movie The Happiest Season. And we basically left the segment wondering about like structural twists, you know, because the basically with as least spoilers for a holiday movie after the holiday season is over is possible is like the movie, I guess, in its climactic sequence shows kind of or focuses on a different aspect of the story that, you know, I know that I felt that the story was focusing on. And I realized when I was going to go and look at other movies that I thought might do this to kind of like fill in that segment, I realized that I didn't really believe in that. And then all the memories came functioning back. Basically what I'm doing right now is I'm coming clean. I really liked most of that movie, but I don't want to do a segment on other movies like it because I really didn't. I don't know. I did not enjoy the ending. And I do recall jumping up. And you know, thankfully we had a great rest of the holiday season with my family, but I definitely went film studies on them for a little while, kind of discussing why I was kind of like flabbergasted at what I had seen on screen. I guess at the end of the day, what I'm doing is not giving you more movies like that or trying to discuss what happened, but I guess holding my ground as a viewer and kind of learning to come clean about that.
I think that's okay. Because, you know, some endings are more unsettling than others. And it made it very memorable for you. So in a
way, even if
you didn't like it, they might not view that as a negative thing. Because it might have been like something that's supposed to stick with you.
That's
one thing I did watch that I found similar is I had said last week on the show that I wasn't a huge fan of Sailor Moon Crystal, and I gave it another chance. And what I did find was that there were a little plot tweaks, because even though it's the same storyline, it's staying more true to the original comic. And in the first season, everything, like the important events, they all happened, but they happened differently. And the main difference was that in the original, during the first season, the characters all kind of like are doing the main fight at the end, like many anime shows do. And they did it together as friends, but kind of like, you know, each one falls off. at one point. And, you know, it's no spoiler because the show is from the 90s that they get reincarnated later.
That's good.
But, like, you know, they're fine. They come back. But in this one, it was like all the frenzies, you know, used up all their energies and passed away. And then her and Tuxedo Mask, the love interest, were like fighting together. And
his name is Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a superhero name. But like, so, but what's weird is it did change the focal point, because it is like a show on like love and friendship, but this one was a lot more like she defeated the bad guy because of her love, opposed to because of the empowerment of her friendship.
Oh, that is different. Yeah.
So it's like, it's still like they're both positive, but I did watch that and go like, this is one thing where I could see like this goes in a different shift
I
was accustomed to. And and I also kind of had the same thing of like, I preferred it the way I liked it. But at the same time, it's like, I did think of it as, you know what? I bagged on it and I gave it another chance and I enjoyed it a little bit more. So there's that. So there's something to just like, I think I also had the New Year's glow of like, I should give things more chances, more positive energy, you know, before like I fall back into my regular curmudgeon mood.
What month does that come about? Is that like the,
you know, month, day, month, hour?
Yeah, hour. Okay. Okay.
It will emerge.
How long does your New Year's cheer last? That would be, is that a study? Who knows?
There's something to that. I do remember there being like an episode of Curb where like if you say Happy New Year's after like New Year's Day, it's like you're too late. Even though I think I was telling people Happy New Year like on New Year's Eve, like, and going just like, oops.
Oh, no, I think New Year's Eve is, well, okay.
It's kind of like, have a Happy New Year.
And, no, this
and
is
I'm
true.
Like, you know.
It's true. It's true.
It's like, we could.
I like it. It's forward thinking. I like it.
You know, I think especially this year, it was more needed of like, Happy New Year. Like, let's get out of this one.
Right. There's a bit more subtext to this Happy New Year. Holds a little more weight. Stick around a little longer.
Yeah. Like, I am still haunted by the ghosts of 2020, as we all are. Like, even you know, there are many memes that are supposed to give us hope and joy. But, like, for instance, myself, I kept pretending like my virtual jury duty wasn't going to happen because I just saw the date January 2021 and I was like, this is a while from now.
Virtual?
I
don't... That's how jury duty's done right now?
Let's unwrap that.
Yeah. Wait, what? I haven't thought about jury duty yet. Yeah. In a pandemic. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I don't know what it is, but apparently I've put myself out there in the ethers as a person whose opinion must be given, in the sense that I get jury duty the most frequent amount you legally can. It's so often. I've done it so many times.
I haven't done it
to where I'm like,
wait,
who
really
did I make angry?
I have never been called to this
in this system, because that, or it's just like a really favorable twist of fate. But yeah, I've gone to the Vista courthouse many a time for that, but this time I got federal, which
moving up in the world.
But yeah, more fish. But yeah, so what I have to do is call in every Sunday and see if my services are needed, and this week I did not, but I did get to like message my coworkers and be like, there is a chance that I am not working tomorrow, which sounds ever so sketchy, but it really is, because I kind of was just like hoping this would evaporate and fly away.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ah, shit. And then I was like, Sunday is January 3rd now, isn't it? And that is when I am supposed to begin seeing if I need to be summoned.
Wow.
So, you know, it is what it is.
I'm glad we unpacked. Wow, I did not realize any of that. I have not thought
yeah,
about
that. Yeah, so PSA to everyone. you can still get jury duty during the COVID. It can still happen, and it can happen to you. Yeah. Lots of people think stuff can't happen to them, and I'm here to tell you, as the person, it happens too.
It only took us till episode two to get fear mongering on the radio. No, I am like, scared.
You
now.
Cannot escape the clutching hands of civic duty.
Yeah,
yeah, they will come for you. Like, in a way, I'm really like, yes, I do want to serve. Like, I could have extended or postponed, and I was. But then I was also thinking, like, what excuse do I give for postponing? Like, well, you're working from home. I'm like, I mean, yeah, technically, I am busy with that. But, like, I think in their minds, like, well, you still had to do this when you worked in an office. And now you don't have to commute and it's less inconvenient for you. So
Right. We're
between you and, say, like, an essential worker. You should just, like, get it done. And so I was like, ugh. I had this imaginary conversation with the morality of postponing or not, and, you know, shamed myself into being like, just do it, get it over with, and maybe you won't have to do it again in 2 years or 1 year or however frequency. Like, I just can't tell you how many times I've done it.
That's amazing.
But I never actually have to do it. I just have to show up.
You show up.
Not yet been picked.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because I've always seen, like, the, you know, the 30 Rock Liz Lemon thing where it's like, show up in the Princess Leia costume and not have to actually do it.
Right.
And I was like, I got the Cinnabon hairstyle. I could do this, but I've never been picked. So it's just like the hat favors my name.
Yeah.
In this instance.
It sounds like it.
So,
wow. You
know, if only it worked for, like, contests and prizes.
Oh, right.
Instead of, you know, government chores. But maybe also I now just thought about it and was like, is it because I have these, like, shamey conversations with myself where I go, all right, I'll fill it out, I'll do it, that, like, that's maybe why I'm picked? Because other people just all postpone. They're like, this girl, she is on the ball. She fills out the form.
Yeah, that might, maybe.
We're going to put her in the pile.
Mm.
Like, maybe I should suck more.
Start going in with different strategies.
It's like New Year's resolution. Be worse at contributing to the betterment of society. You know.
You have been watching Curbed.
Simple things. It seems attainable somehow. During this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
No. Speaking of pandemic, we have a toast and a roast that we like to discuss. Yes.
What's your toast?
And yeah, I know. I've already, like, somewhat began roasting, but there's always more. But which actually I do want to continue on that playing field.
Yeah.
That my roast does go to the slightly discussed mask protesters. That is a news article that stuck with me. And
what
happened? Was just like, yeah, without getting into any of the just, like, be a considerate human in the contagious spreading virus time. It is also, to me, just strange use of your free time. It's like, right now, as we've discussed with our wrap up and all this pop culture media, as much as we are stuck at home and there's not a lot we can do, there are a lot of things to read, watch, listen to. We are part of that ever-growing group of media that's going out into your digital atmosphere. But some people are just like, you know what, I got some anger, I'm gonna really aim it towards the cloth device that's supposed to protect me and others from what's going on right now. And it does just seem to be an interesting use of time.
Right.
Like, you could do so many more productive things, but I guess, you know.
Yeah, but
there's always going to be people who are just like, got to channel their energy in that way. So that was a roasty thing.
Okay, that was your roast.
Yeah. that's a risky thing. I think like mask usage in general, like you've seen a lot of variety out there. Like in the beginning, it was just like the people who let the nose peek out. You were like, come on. Right. You know, this is like some equal opportunity.
Right, that's the point. Yeah. Yeah.
Entrances through the nostril and the mouth. But then the other thing I saw once, which was very interesting in like a eating area, was a gentleman rolled his mask up like vertically, like how one would like unwrap a burrito upside down. And then did that to eat a lollipop.
Wait, where was that stored on his face? Because I'm trying to feel my face right now, and I'm not. Oh, like, yeah, there's some real estate up there. Okay, that makes sense.
Like a headband, which I just looked at it, and it was during the summertime, so I was like, oh, this is soaking up like the forehead sweat. Ew.
Yeah, no,
and then you did it to have like this seized lollipop, and I was just like. The priorities, man. It's like, can't wait till I get home.
You know? I'm just kidding.
You know, it's hard because those are good. I would never judge lollipop consuming. And any other time other than I was like, are you sure you want to do this in the public place? I feel like the particles could stick to this lollipop.
Yeah. Oh.
That's overthinking it a little bit too much. So, yes, in short. A roast, but a toast.
Yeah,
a
toast?
To my toasts. I have a few. Toast is New Year's Day. I did make really good soba with some shrimp tempura, and it was very tasty. And I went all out and got cherry blossom print kamaboko, which is fish cake. And it was very aesthetically pleasing, but more importantly, delicious. But another thing is I did a hike I had not done a long time ago.
Local San Diego hike?
Poway.
Poway.
Yeah. Nice. In Poway. Yeah. Out there. So went a little 40 minutes out, but did Iron Mountain with my trusted dog, Chibi. Yeah. I hadn't done that in years, but it was really nice. I think if you're in between Potato Chip Rock and that one, I would do Iron Mountain because it's a little bit more... I think the view is actually better. And then you're not competing with the people who are there more for the photos, which I would never judge anyone for the photos. I take many pictures. But sometimes when you're hiking and there's like a good vista point, you kind of get like, oh, I don't want to get in the line of people who are here to do the shot. I just want to like get to the top and get down.
It's a trail, not Disneyland.
And, you know, take a little break, but, you know, if you're trying to avoid kind of the Insta crowd, I mean, obviously it's
Baked Potato Rock, which is like right next to Potato Chip Rock. And there's a bunch of rocks over on that hike.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's there. Honestly, Potato Chip Rock, it always interests me, all of these like Insta hikes, because they're like a bit more strenuous than you'd expect an Insta hike to be.
Exactly.
It's always kind of Potato Chip Rock.
Fairly strenuous hike.
It's a hike. It's a real hike. It's not like a quarter mile trail.
No, it's not like the Torrey Pines kind of naturey hike walk.
Oh, that one's great too, though. But yeah, it's not really. It is more so.
You could make that one difficult if you wanted to, but you could also take it easy. But there's no taking it easy on that Potato Chip Rock hike because. I've done it once, and I remember being like, this is not one for the rotation per se. like, I have to be in a specific space to do this. But, yeah, like, the combination of it being fairly difficult, good amount of boulders, and then the crowds, hordes of humans, I mean, that was pre-COVID hordes of humans, but like, you know, welcome ones. So it's, you know, it's probably a different situation now, but I also prefer the road less traveled of hikes. Like even like nearby hikes that I do all the time, there's yeah. always like little trails that are maybe a little bit more difficult, but less people on them. And I'll kind of try to do those, especially right now. But yeah, I'm very into like hiking this year to just keep that going. It's
a great pastime.
It's a nice time of year to do it because it's not as blisteringly hot. It's actually fairly cold.
I noticed that. So today.
I do like it for that reason. And yeah, good old Chibi.
Chibi's a hiker.
Oh yeah, this beagle. I've recently started calling her Mrs. Beaglesworth too.
Beaglesworth.
Pun off of the Austin Powers cat, so that when I pet her in my lap, I can pretend to be slightly
nefarious. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, she likes to climb around. I more have to just like keep her from like totally like, she doesn't know social etiquette, though it is kind of nice because if there's someone going slower in front of us, like as a person, he'd be like, okay, I gotta kind of like space it out and just kind of wait for the right moment to go pass around where it's polite. Mm-hmm. My, you know, 9-month beagle does not care for that. She's like, I would like to go faster. So she'll just be like, you know, on them, just like, you know, couple steps behind, and they'll start to kind of understand that a dog's breath is starting to get closer to their calves, and they'll be like, do you want to go ahead of us? I'm so sorry. And then later I'm like, yes. Like, saved me some time. There'll be an age where that becomes less, you know, cute for my pup, but while it is, I'm just gonna milk that up and continue to pass and just go, sorry, my dog. But you know, she's just trying to get, especially once it's on the descend, she's you know, raised after me, so she's like, all right, I'm done, let's get out of here, let's get down, and let's, I don't know why I went like New Jersey when I said that, and let's get some food. So she knows what comes at the end of the hike. It's like, we're gonna get to lounge and lap up some comida, and you know, it's the reason we all
that's
do
what
the
it's
outdoors.
About yeah
the rewards.
Absolutely.
I think collectively we can all agree for the rewards. But toast and a roast for you, Daniel.
Ooh.
What's up?
Well, I'll defer my roast to the beginning of to this episode, but I can give a toast this week, actually. I had a professor in college. His name was John O'Brien, and he was a writing professor, and he was really amazing, but he had written a book called Write Before You Write, and it's a book about writing. It's his rules for writing, and also about grant writing, successful grant writing. And
I feel like I need to read this.
Yeah, so I picked it up because I just wanted more John O'Brien perspective, and then I started having friends who would apply to grad school, and so I was like, oh, well, you know, grants, research, like, you know, you like writing. And so I gave my copy away, and then I ordered another copy, and then I gave that copy away in a week. And then I received an email this week, and he didn't really know if he had sent me the last copy or not, and I told him that it kind of all subtracted in my mind the same way it added in his mind. And he actually just sent me another one, so now I finally have a copy to keep until inevitably someone goes and needs to write some grants or something, or if I hear about that.
Hey.
But for now, I get some reading to do, and it was just great to hear from John again. But really great professor at Santa Barbara City.
Yes.
So toast to John this
you
week.
You should. Toast to John. Yeah, you should just like put your full name on the inside of that one. Be like,
I should.
Because like at this point you kind of have been a nice little like middleman rep for his book. Like he might be kind of stoked to like, Daniel, how many people
the good
did
word or John
you get to read my words? I'm pretty happy about this. It's not a bad situation.
No, it's a fun book.
Yeah, and I definitely, I could use some more literature for writers. I was like, writing for writers sounds a little bit too much like the title you just said.
Yes.
But yeah, I haven't picked up anything like that in a while. And I could, you know, afford to improve, like we all can.
Well, yeah, everybody can, you know.
Everyone can, especially.
We're still on the New Year's improvement train.
Yeah.
The day or hour hasn't come yet, hopefully.
I know. Are you giving up on this year? So I was like, does that mean your New Year's glow is running out into,
I hope
into
not
regular
yeah, right.
convention? No. We still got a little bit of warmth.
Yeah. You know, speaking of readings, interestingly enough, yeah. I've been reading a couple articles this week, and I've noticed that a lot of them are doing audio now. Have you been seeing this?
Yes.
Has that always been a thing? I don't know.
No, it's kind of new. That was something I started to do in college. There were different platforms that were coming out all the time where if you were writing a story, you could insert, say, like you wanted to have someone's quote said in their actual words, you could drop it in that way. Really widely used. I think it was more for like big spotlight pieces. They mm-hmm. might do that where it was really impactful, but obviously it's a lot more labor intensive than just publishing texts and photos. So I could see why it's not every single article, but right now it seems to be, I could see why people would do that, because you can't be in person and interview people, which makes it difficult to kind of get those magical in the weeds moments.
That's a good point.
So if you're doing like a video chat, like we're doing right now with someone else, and they might be a little bit more prepared and not as easy to just have that like, oh, let's wander and like continue this conversation, where something else just falls out that's like, that's it. You might want the audio so that you can have that authenticity of like, they said this word for word, here it is, we'll listen to them say this. Or if it's just something interesting too. So I could see that coming bigger now, so that you can feel more connected to the writing and have it also for, you know, the year and years of fact checking. Right. I feel like it also kind of helps keep some accountability from the journalistic perspective. But I'm happy to see that. That's something I want more of. So
yeah, quite like
to
it.
That. Yeah. I know. I haven't read a ton recently, but I have been eating quite a bit of takeout. So welcome to this segment called Complimentary Bread. Something that's free and delicious, like this advice on where to get takeout. So if you are in the local San Diego area, I have a lot of recs. Back when we were in the office, I was definitely one of the, I would call this like, you know, lunch coordinators. if we had somewhere to go for like birthdays or people going out, like part of it is just I love food and I love discovering new mom and pop type restaurants, and then really just following them like a good old cult. So you know, I'll wear the pantsuit. But yeah, I actually just got some food tonight from a place in Vista called Kung Fu Noodle. And if you like Din Tai Fung and Taiwanese food in general, it's not super easy to find around North County. So it's very much a diamond in the rough if you crave that kind of food. But they're really good house-made noodles and dumplings. They do soup dumplings, like Shaolong Bao. They do really good bao, like steamed buns. Those are one of my faves. And they do a really good beef noodle soup, dan dan noodles, scallion pancakes, all of the goods. They have it. So that's a place I've been going to for a couple years now because of just like North County did not used to have that many offerings of Asian food.
Where so in I Vista do feel like when place? I
you know, it's deep. Do you know where the original When Pigs Fly barbecue place is?
The original.
Yeah, no. It's so if you go past the downtown section and then it's really just kind of in a weird super center shopping area. It's kind of hidden in there, but it's really good. I've always had really tasty food. And they also are a restaurant which highly respect places that kind of adapt food for takeout when it was originally dine-in, because that's not super easy. Mm-hmm. So especially a lot of delicate food like dumplings. So shout out to them. Another place that I'd gone to recently was a favorite of mine since childhood is Terry Cafe. Also, it is a Japanese/Hawaiian restaurant, but they have really good noodles of all kinds, sushi. And what's nice too is it's very good quality, but it is very reasonably priced. And they have a few locations in North County. And I really do sound like I'm an advertiser at this point to remind you.
For local takeout spots, advertise away.
Would love to be. I was like, part of myself, I'm like, I am going into a marketing slogan voice and I must stop. But it's like, you can get these deals for now. But really, it is super delicious. I'm going to try to stop saying super. It is.
It's delicious. That's all you got to say. It's delicious.
They got great broth. I am a very big, like, people have some hot takes on soup. Like, they're either, like, really pro soup or very anti soup is what I have discovered in my years on this earth.
You've discovered anti soup people?
Oh, yeah. Like, my boyfriend is less into soup. I kind of had to, like, continue pushing noodle soup on him because I'm like, I'm really sorry, but this is like core to my being that you enjoy noodle soup. So
Sean, write eventually in. Give us your opinions on soup.
Yeah, I know. Jump in the chat, Sean. But got him on that ramen train. He is there. Still working on pho and udon, but we will get there. But yeah, I am a very pro broth person. Like, it's when it's really good, you're just like, oh, this is delicious and comforting and everything that's great in life.
Comforting is a good word. Comforting is a good word.
And then other people are more take it or leave it of like, maybe I prefer a stew. Like, you want something more substance to it. And I'm like, I like stew, but I am more broth. I am creating more divisions than need to exist in this plane. But at the same time, I feel very passionately about broth. I love a good broth. I will eat soup in the summertime. I don't care. I love it.
Wow. Committed to soup.
So that's committed to soup. That is, you know, I really felt it for, you know, the Seinfeld episode. Like, that guy took soup seriously. I'm like, I agree.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. That was good conviction. That was shared conviction between...
Shared conviction, maybe like not as strongly about the rules, but like the essence.
Yeah, but the rules
of
made
enjoying
the place,
one soup. But that's true. I do appreciate a place that has like a short menu and really,
yes, I agree. Yes.
Rules where I don't get lost and overwhelmed to the point of like, at this point, should I just like do my own cupboard chopped? Like, just figure something out here so that I don't have to pick between 8 things on this PDF that I'm zooming in and out on my phone. It's
no, I agree. Is it an unpopular opinion to like short menus? Like, no,
you know,
right?
I don't think it's unpopular because think about it. In and out, that is a short menu, and that is beloved.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. There are places with really long menus, but then I have gone to some of those places and everything is good.
Right.
And you're like, I wouldn't. Another place I really like, and I don't know if I'm butchering the pronunciation, so apologies if I am, is called Pho Truc Zon, and it's in Escondido off, I think, Center City Parkway. It's very close to the bus I used to take to downtown. And really good Vietnamese food. Like, their fried tofu is so good. It's like a salt and pepper fried tofu. And it is just nothing like just tender, fluffy tofu that then gets crispy. And then chilies and onions and garlic. And you just eat it and feel like you are also a nice little fluffy tofu.
That's lovely. You know, of all the North County cities, Escondido is the one I know the least, or know about like the secret gems in it the least.
Yeah, I don't venture out there too often. But this, when I started taking the bus, that was a frequent, because it was kind of like as I left, it was right there and had this big green sign. But it's true. I feel like when we were, like as we grew up, there weren't as many spots out there, or it was just like it took a bit longer, and so we didn't venture out as often. But right. I feel like now there's more and more places popping up in a lot of the hidden corners of North County, which I like to see. I'm here to see it, as much as I also, you know, would love to live and expand where I reside. I also like to see the hometowns coming up.
I love North County, San Diego. It's a great
place. I know. It's great. So, yeah, those are my main picks for local foods that I've really had a good time with. But
some complimentary bread.
Yeah, that is complimentary bread. But we also did have some LA takes from you that you are looking out, fishing out for some options. And I do have some that I have not been to in a while.
What have you heard in LA?
Share with you.
Yeah. What do you got
for you want unsolicited options for places that may or may not be convenient to where you specifically
have we heard about the same spots up here in the LA food scene? Yes, that's something I want to know.
One place I really like is called Night Plus Market. It's a Thai restaurant, but it's really good. I went there for the first time with one of my longtime good friends, Julia. And it's, I think, very authentic Northern Thai cuisine. And they have, it's like when you go in there too, obviously different now because it's all takeout, but it's like brightly colored in a very kind of pop way. And there's really cool paintings. They have like a cookbook too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but they have really good, I think it's called cow soy, but it's like this, and again, another noodle soup, but it's really good. It's like kind of like a curry noodle situation.
Yeah,
really
good. I think cow soy, I think I was told to try that specifically. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Another person echoing in on that bell. But that's one place.
Probably from that place, because I think that
there are a few locations.
I'm educating myself about food finally, but
there's got to be one near you.
Yeah,
there's another place I've been really meaning to try, which when things are safer to do so, we'll coordinate on that one. And it's called Konbi, which is like short for Konbini, which is convenience store. And I follow them on Instagram, and I just want to eat everything. They have, like, tonkatsu sandwiches, egg salad sandwiches. They have, like, croissants, like, a lot of baked goods, but it looks really good.
They have excellent photography on their site right now.
Yeah. I want to say that's in Echo Park. You can fact check.
It is in Echo Park, yes.
Yes.
On Sunset Boulevard.
Yes. Yeah. I think one of my friends used to work at a Blue Bottle near there, and I remember looking at where this was located and going, like, oh, if only this was here 2 years ago. It's so convenient for me. Know how that is. Hindsight of locations of eateries.
This is true. I discovered so much about San Francisco after my time living there. But that's a story
that
for
does
another
happen.
Day.
It does happen. Now, I'm trying to think if there's anything else specifically there, but those are the two that come off of my head. I went the last time I was in LA, I went to Cantor's because I had a craving for deli and it was really good.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
that's that's like a more of like a historic favorite for people. They have their different delis amongst the city, but that one is good. And back in the day, I used to go to, if I went to, many SoCal people who went to university were probably ones that tried to get in the lottery for like Conan or other tapings. So I used to go to like Burbank to go do that for funsies. Mm-hmm. And I did used to go to the Bob's Big Boy there because it was like also very much a staple. And mm-hmm. we used to have one in San Marcos.
In San Marcos, really?
There used to be one up until middle school, and then they replaced it with like a similar to a Benihana type restaurant. So it really did a 180 there. Like, yeah.
I did not know that.
I have memories of going there and then immediately just being like, no more Big Boy.
I can't say I've ever tried it personally, but yeah.
I can see why maybe it didn't thrive long term where it was near the Carl's Jr. It's not like a super
out on the edge of San Marcos.
Because it's just not where a ton of sit down restaurants are. Like there are a few.
Do you think it could survive in the current San Marcos? San Marcos now is very different to the San Marcos of then.
It is. It has changed quite a bit. It may, in a nostalgia kind of way. It would really depend, though. Like, I found if I watch shows where the people drink milkshakes all the time because it's like kind of retro-y, that then I would also like to be having said milkshakes. So there's something to that where I'm like, oh, well, like, I would like to be doing that. Ugh. But
about diners, this isn't even a roast. This is just like the sadness segment.
Depression diner.
Now it is. Apparently, I read this week that while not confirmed, the 101 coffee shop up here went dark and is apparently like supposedly closed for good. So I'm not positive on that. But like Pink's, for example, voluntarily closed through March, I think they just announced.
I was just about to bring that up. I saw that and was. And that's crazy.
Yeah, but this 101 coffee shop, I don't know if you'd ever been. I went a couple times.
I have.
And it like oozed atmosphere is, I guess, like the biggest, you know, that's kind of what everybody says about it. And it is true. It is like a very much like a 60s era diner.
I really like going to those when you can find them because you can get like a tuna melt or like kind of these like home style dinery dishes and like breakfast is served all day. It's hard because people who might be like, you can do that at Denny's, but it's not as good.
No,
you know, that's more like a fast food diner. We're talking like a slow diner where you get like
Denny's is great if you want to reenact like your favorite Breaking Bad atmosphere scenes. But like if you want like real diner atmosphere,
if you
want
to burn like the sweatpants you're wearing, like Denny's is here for you.
Denny's is for you, yeah. Take the bacon, make it in the make it in your age on your birthday. It's great. But no, if you want diner experience.
If you want like a more memorable, transport yourself to a simpler time, not a, you know, get myself a passport off the back of a van time, you go to a nice diner. Yeah. So that is sad to hear. That is sad news.
Yeah.
Diner coming to an end, potentially. We'll see.
Potentially. Yeah.
We'll follow up on that.
But so far, that looks to be the case.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that is a push that I'll say too. If you can, and if it's within your means, support your local food around here. I will say, as a local musician that has been hosted at a lot of fine local spots, and that is something I'm passionate about too, is performing at small places around here that I think are really awesome and I want to promote, that I'm like, also keep it up and order from them directly when you can, because I love mom and pop like one-off restaurants, or even if they're a small chain within your region. But that's just something where I'm like, ugh, I want to keep that going. I don't want to turn into a place where it's all we have is corporate chain restaurants, because that's all that could survive.
Please, no.
So
there's so many
my plea, because I love delicious foods of particular cultures and places. So I want to see those survive on the other end of this. But I love, you know, I do miss dining in. That's something that I'll be excited to do when it's safe to do that again, because I do understand why, you know, sometimes takeout just ain't the same. But a lot of times it's still very delicious. So keep it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there any of, speaking of a bit of digest, one other, like last week we did the whole year of 2020 wrap up, but this week I'll do a little bit of a short between, you know, the 28th and now media wrap up of myself.
You know, there were more days in there than I thought. I have not realized it's been a whole week since the 28th, but yes, please continue. Freaked me out today.
The time is catching up with us.
Yeah.
Yes. So this segment is called Increased Screen Time, because we all have increased screen time on our weekly reports on our phones. If you
don't look at my
phone's don't lie to me.
Notifications of how, what my screen time is. I never swipe left of the home screen. Never.
Sometimes it's best not to know.
Yeah, I just didn't. I'm not happy. What was your segment?
So, things that I've watched this week. One thing is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina released its part 4 and final, at least on Netflix, season. A lot of people have speculated that perhaps it could live on, as many shows do, on another platform or in a movie. It's a great cast, great story. I would say, in keeping with the theme of twists and turns, it is one where you're both on the same page and it stays very true to the realm the story exists in and her character and how it's grown, yet also how there's like the duality of where she's going. And excuse me for just one moment while I meander on that.
Oh no. Tracy has left the call. I'm not sure what that means here, but she was watching Sabrina. And here on an independent primetime party time, it looks like, yeah, she's meandering all by herself, trying to figure out what it is. But nope, she's back. She's back. We're going to hear her thoughts on Sabrina right now.
After that very thoughtful pause for all of you to chew on the wondrous words of which I spoke. yeah, it stays true to that realm and her character and how it's grown and the duality that is both literal and figurative. And if you've been following the show, you know what I mean. So in that sense, it is what you're expecting, but also I think they took a pretty good risk in how it ended, where you're left wanting more, but you're also like, things are tied up in a lot of ways with like character relationships and sort of a prophecy that's begun in the beginning, and you're kind of like, oh, I'm seeing it fulfilled in a way towards the end, which I think when you watch a lot of mystical, magical, supernatural shows, it is cool to see that as many, those shows always give you a lot of options because it's not in the same, you know, reality sense. Like you can, you know, bring people back from the dead. So there's always that thing.
Confused me. I watched Angel for the first time this last year. And like those supernatural shows that like kind of just make up their own rules.
They
like
really
they're great. They're great. And it was. It was an amazing series. And then thank you, Wendy, for having me watch that. But yeah, it was very much, it's like fun to kind of like just be at the mercy of like the supernatural rules and stuff like that. To the point where Interestingly enough, I did hear Sabrina was ending, but what I heard about it wasn't the finale, but the second to last episode had some fun or something like that.
Yeah, it gets real interesting. She kind of works with someone who is an enemy, but kind of has to pretend like she's very vulnerable to be kind of taken advantage of, not in any horrible way, but just kind of in a, like, I know this guy's has plans for me that I'm not, you know, down to be the person who gives him all these powers. But she was kind of like, I gotta go along with this in order to learn about kind of this supernatural power that she was dealing with. And it's sound. There also is an episode in there that's really funny if you like meta stuff, because they have all these parallel universes. And if you watched Sabrina with Melissa Joan Hart, there are some characters that up from that in the other universes. And really? I was like, I thought that was.
Is it the one I'm thinking of? Is it the character I'm thinking of as like the most casual, like when I was a child, like viewer of it? Do you think that my mind's going in the right direction, getting excited about what you're talking about?
I think so, because there are not just one, but three. So I think of that, you could probably make a good guess of the ones that arrived. But
if not, it's my headcanon.
Yeah. But I thought that was really like a fun take on the multiverse concept, but then also being a big wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the previous iteration, because they told her as she was like going into the parallel universe, like, oh, by the way, they should be really similar to the ones we are, but they might have just like these slight different tweaks. And on top of that, they were like making a TV show, and she was then an actor in that universe. So it was just like,
that's the episode were deep. I heard about. Okay,
whoever wrote that episode, like, big toast, extra toast.
I like that. Throwing out toasts here.
Throwing out toasts. That's good. I started on a big like roasting marathon, so it's good to wrap it up on a
good toast. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so that is mad props. I hope to write that well one day. Nice. So yeah, those are some great ideas there. But another show I watched, which people who are more into superhero stuff will be into this, my boyfriend / roommate really likes The Boys, so we started watching an anime called My Hero Academia. I don't know why I thought about that a lot.
There was a show that my coworkers like took me aside and for 2 hours after work tried to explain the plot of an anime. Is this the one where the dude just breaks his arms all the time?
Oh no!
No, that's not this one.
That is One Punch Man.
Oh, that's One Punch Man.
I have not. Okay. I think so. I haven't watched that yet, but it's supposed to be kind of a farce spoof, because it's supposed to be like he can defeat someone as long as he gets like one punch in. But it's like,
but then he breaks his arm.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know it well enough.
This is my homework.
But
I
know it's very. I know it's supposed to be like really funny, which I live for the comedy in anime. When it's good, it's great. But yeah, this one,
so what's My Hero Academia?
My Hero Academia is kind of like similar to like an X-Men vibe, and also to The Boys, which is on Prime. It's this guy is growing up and everyone else is a superhero, and it also kind of touches on the Japanese school system where you have to take certain tests to get into really good high schools when you're in middle school. So you have like these exams, and so he is not someone who has kind of developed his superhero quirk, but he really wants to get into the really good superhero high school. So he's trying to like train and do all this stuff, and he kind of befriends the like most popular, prominent superhero at that time, who kind of is like, okay, I kind of feel like you're destined for more. So I'm only a few episodes in, but...
Well, Tracy, spoiler alert, I think he is going to break his arm. We got a comment in the chat from guest 7230. My Hero Academia is capitalized. The one where he breaks his arm.
Oh, that does happen. That person is correct. I wasn't thinking about that, but I did see an episode of which the arm is broken.
Yes. Thank you for clearing that up, guest 7230.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Apparently, there One Punch Man has a really, like, is really funny as well and does have that comedy.
That but checks.
Apparently, yeah, apparently, if you continue down this path of My Hero Academia, you will see some arms break.
You know? I'm only a few episodes deep. I didn't see him like, yeah, he did have an arm injury early on. And
this is all I took from a 2-hour synopsis from my coworkers.
You know, I appreciate their passion. I feel like I do that too, where I'll really campaign like the same way I've been campaigning you and a few others to really watch Schitt's Creek. I'm like, you're going to watch the show. And I'm gonna be like a little pest about this.
All right. I'll add that to my homework too. I'll add understanding the difference between One Punch Man, My Hero Academia, and watching Schitt's Creek to my homework this week.
It's mostly so that I can start, you know, giving you quotes and such, so that I can be referential with you.
That sounds so fun.
If I can't do that now, then you'll think I came up with it, and it's like I'm not this talented. No. So.
You know, that's but that happens. I remember the first time I ever like noticed that is I watched Anchorman very, very late, and I'm like, oh, this is where like 70% of like the current pop culture references come from.
You're like, my friends don't just say I love lamp because they love lighting in IKEA. It's much more than this.
Yeah, it's always fun when you get those things that like so Schitt's Creek is something else that possibly I've been hearing references from. All right, I'll go investigate.
And I remember in college, I would do covers of old songs on shows, and somebody came up to me and was like, did you write that song? And I was like, no. Aretha Franklin wrote that song. If I wrote that song, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in the coffee shop with like 10 people and half of them are on their laptops.
That's funny.
I wouldn't be in college. I would be out in the music business.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, which I feel like they were like, a simple no would have done just fine.
No, but now they know. Yeah.
It's a long way to get to no.
Well, sweet. Yes.
References will get you.
We'll get there. With that, I think we did an hour. I think this was episode 2.
Primetime Party Time. Primetime Party Time. And I hope you enjoyed our variety of segments. We will definitely start to bring in more elements to the show as we go on. But for now, especially during these COVID times, we're going to also try to dive into as much media and pop culture and hip haps that we can and share it with y'all. So thank you for listening to us again.
Yeah.
Second episode.
Thank you so much for joining us. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Hit us up at info@ptptshow.com. If you can't find us, or if you just want to talk, or you can always talk in the chat. Maybe we'll check it sometime during the week. The show couldn't have been made without our artwork by Fen. Find her at Fen Latte on Instagram. Our theme song playing in the background by Jay Wright. Actually, let's get that going again. You can find him at jwrightmusic.com. And our website that we got help from Coco. Listen live Mondays at 9 p.m. or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll see you next Monday right here at 9 p.m. And we'll get to that fade at some point. I got nothing else.
Nothing else. Hey, we did episode 2.
Episode 2.
I actually felt somewhat comfortable in that.